Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I'm going to share something with you today that I wish I had known years ago. I'm telling you, if I had the information that I'm about to share with you today, my life would have been different today. So many things would have been different or easier for me. I'm going to share with you the biblical process for avoiding sickness. That's right. The Bible tells us how to stay well. I don't know about you. I don't want to have to get healed over and over again. I want to walk in health. I want to avoid sickness. Now, this is going to be an incredibly challenging message, and you're going to have to get past some religious ideas in order to get everything out of this that you want to get, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be worth it. Now listen, if you haven't been watching these broadcasts, you can see all of them at www.impactministries.com, or if you want to get the entire 8-CD series called Qualified for Healing, you can get that at impactministries.com through our store, and I'm telling you something, it's going to give you tools for health and healing that are going to transform your life maybe more than anything you've ever heard. Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to tell you about this incredible CD series I got called Qualified for Healing. This goes into more than just how to get healed. This goes into how to walk in divine health. I want to tell you something. Walking in health is better than getting healed. And the Bible tells us how we can have both, but we've got so many religious concepts, so many old covenant concepts woven into how we walk this out that it's really almost impossible for us to receive. You want to get this series and end your battle with sickness. Man, I can't wait to share this information with you today. I don't know if we'll get through all of it, but I'm going to get through as much of it as I possibly can because this is so important. But now listen to me. There's a principle that I always share with you, and that is the truth that has the most potential to set you free always has the most potential to offend you. And what I'm going to be sharing with you today is one of those truths that it will be easy to misunderstand. It'll be easy to mistranslate. It'll be easy to judge what I'm saying and really miss the point. And I'll tell you, you're going to get all kinds of things to help you avoid sickness through this message today. But at the end of it, you're going to understand why this message that I'm going to share with you is so incredibly offensive and why some people really, really, really take offense at it. As a matter of fact, what I'm sharing with you today is a principle that Jesus taught that ultimately led to the final straw and the Sanhedrin coming to kill him, to crucify him. And it all happened around the principles that I'm going to share with you in this message today. Now listen, we've already learned about discerning the Lord's body when we have sickness. But now, we want to learn how to avoid sickness. We don't want to be in a situation where we're always getting sick and always having to have somebody pray for us and always having to go somewhere and try to get something to get us out of the trouble that we're in. 3 John 2 says, and everybody's familiar with this, says, "Beloved, I pray that you'd prosper in all things and be in good health just as your soul prospers." And we realize that it's the prosperity of the soul, if you will, that brings about our health and ultimately even our prosperity in every single area of life. Now, you know what we now know, now that we're understanding electromagnetic fields and quantum physics, we realize that what the Bible taught us about health and healing is way more accurate than what science has told us for years and years and years. Basically, almost the entire premise that we have been presented about health and disease has really been incorrect. And amazingly, with all the scientific breakthroughs, you know, we use quantum physics to do space exploration. We use quantum physics to do all types of scientific work. But in the area of health, they will not use this information because if they did, it would bring about a breakdown in the entire way that companies make money. It would bring about a breakdown in the way that governments control people and keep people in fear and all these sorts of things. But I want you to realize that that we understand now that Louis Pasteur, who gave us the germ theory around which almost all modern antibiotics, all modern medicine was derived, it turns out that he was a plagiarist. It turns out that he plagiarized this theory from another scientist who, in fact, had not even completed his work. And when he completed his work, he reached a totally different concept than what Pasteur gave us. And Pasteur, according to some sources, on his deathbed admitted that his whole concept of the germ theory was not correct. But you see, it's a money-making process. It's great for government. It's great for the drug companies. It's great for business for us to have the idea that germs and bacteria and viruses attack us and that we need somebody out there, because we're not capable of doing it, so we need somebody out there to come up with something that they can sell us to protect us from these bacteria and germs that are going to sweep down on us and attack us at any moment. You see, what we now understand is this. And I remember about 15 years ago, I was sharing, maybe even 20 years ago, I was sharing this in a meeting one time. I had a medical doctor get up and just tell me I was crazy, didn't know what I was talking about. But we now know that bacteria in your system can morph into a cancer cell. It can morph into various kinds of cells. It can morph into something healthy. It can morph into something destructive. But what we understand now is not about a particular kind of bacteria attacking us. It's about the environment that bacteria lives in. As a matter of fact, you know, we now understand that for years and years and years, we've been told that everything about our health and everything about our life is programmed by our DNA. We now know that that's a biological impossibility. The truth is, our DNA is like a series of switches, and everybody has the same switches, but for some reason, certain switches are turned on and turned off. Well, what we know is that's an environmental factor, and it's based primarily on our emotions, our beliefs, our feelings, and our thoughts. And then, of course, right behind that, the physical environment that's going on in our body. But really, this would turn medicine up on his head. And the real truth is, we should be practicing medicine today that looks like something they had on Star Trek, where they scan you, they find out what something is, and they use another scanner to correct it from outside the body without having to do surgery, without having to take harmful drugs and medications. And there would only be the really critical cases where we had to do something extreme, or the emergency cases, or in the case of accidents. But the Bible was right all along. It's all about our soul, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions that determine the environment that flips the switches in our DNA, that programs the bacteria in our body, that causes health or healing to be the most predominant thing in our life. You know, Proverbs 7:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. The Bible tells us that the Word of God in Proverbs 3, it is health to your flesh and strength to your bones. We read scriptures like that all of our lives, and we acted like it was just God kind of speaking metaphorically. No, this is real science. This is the way that the body really, really works. And you see, you even get beyond just the idea of emotions, and you get into the concepts of belief. Now, those of you who have used my heart physics programs, you understand the difference between feelings and emotions. You understand the difference between thoughts and beliefs. And beliefs are a product of the heart, and beliefs are more about who you are as a person than about any particular circumstances. And it's the beliefs of the heart that really program our DNA, that really programs our life, that really causes the overall global effect, if you will, of what's happening in our body day in, day out on a consistent basis. That's why, when speaking of God's Word, the Bible tells us that these words, that they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Therefore, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring all the issues of life. Now, I want to tell you something. Every aspect of your life ultimately flows out of your own heart, your own beliefs about yourself, your own ideas about who you are, your own concepts of what you think you deserve in life or what you think you don't deserve in life. I will tell you something. If you don't think you deserve to be happy, if you don't think you deserve to be prosperous, if you don't think that you deserve to live in peace, if you don't think you deserve a good job, then if you ever get any of those things, if you ever go beyond what you think you deserve, your own heart is going to signal basically all the cells of your body and say, we've gone someplace we're not supposed to go. We got to stop it because this is who we are. We got to stay within these boundaries. And I'm going to tell you something. Before long, you'll be in sickness. You'll be in disease. You'll be, you know, you will create an environment that allows sickness to thrive. So I want you to just understand a little bit about how emotions become beliefs, because basically what happens is when we have these emotions over a period of time, we begin to eventually pass judgments about ourselves. In other words, if day after day after day I have some kind of negative emotion that I'm feeling, and really that emotion is just coming because of what I'm thinking about, but that's still not a belief. That's just a thought, and that thought is producing emotions. So if I do this day after day after day, I'm probably going to pass a judgment about myself. There's something wrong with me. I'm going to pass a judgment that says, you know, God's mad at me. God's trying to get even with me. I don't deserve to be happy. You know, somehow we're going to condemn ourselves. Somehow we're going to attack ourselves. And the moment we make it about who we are, it becomes a belief of the heart. And when it becomes a belief of the heart, now these, what were emotions, they become deep feelings, and they begin to be the predominant driving feelings behind everything that we do, behind everything that happens on a physiological level, a relational level, on an emotional level. And because we're talking about health, and this is really going to start setting up what's going to happen in our health. Listen, we know now biologically, scientifically, we know people's attitudes has more to do with who survives illness and disease than any other single factor. There are people every single day that should die from whatever is wrong with them, but they don't. And they don't because of what's going on in here and their beliefs and their thoughts and their feelings and their emotions. Now, the Bible teaches us about processing emotions. You're not going to see the word process in the Bible, but let me just give you an example. James 5:13 says this, "Is anyone among you suffering?" You know, in other words, you're going through tribulation or hardship, let him pray. Now, this is telling you that when you go through something, there is a way to process this so that it doesn't turn to destruction. You pray about it. Now, if you understand New Covenant prayer, you know how to pray. And you pray by saying, you know what? I'm going to align my thoughts, feelings, and belief with the finished work of Jesus. And if Jesus solved this problem on the cross, it has no right in my life. I'm going to stop it, and I'm not going to allow it in my life. And if it's something I need in my life, and Jesus obtained it through his death, burial, and resurrection, then I am going to put that on, and that's how I'm going to pray. I'm not going to pray begging God to do something that Jesus has already done. So this is how you process suffering without internalizing it and passing judgments about yourself and making yourself worse. He says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. You know, what's interesting is we don't realize that even positive emotions, if they're taken to an extreme, can cause health problems. You know, people who live in too much excitement, in other words, they're too excitable. And in emotional profiles, we call this a high I or an inspirational pattern. These people have to really watch out because they can cause themselves to have heart problems and even heart attacks because they're always living in this highly excited state. So it says, what you do when you're cheerful, sing psalms. In other words, worship God. Process this by praise and by worship. Don't just internalize this and let this become something internally that starts driving everything that's going on with you. You see, we got to realize it's our emotional responses to the world around us, to the situations that we face, that really cause sickness. In other words, you know, two people can go through the exact same circumstance. One person may come out stronger. One person may come out with fibromyalgia, ulcers, colitis, or arthritis or whatever. What's the difference? The difference is how we respond to these things. How do we process these pressures? And if we internalize these things, instead of dealing with them in godly ways, then we create stress in our bodies. And the moment stress comes into your body, boy, your hormones change. All of these things start changing inside you. And suddenly, now you've got inflammation. And when you've got inflammation, you've got pain. And when you've got inflammation, you've got a breeding ground for sickness and disease. Now your pH is off. And if your pH reaches a certain, some people say that if your pH reaches a 5.5, which is more acidic, that basically you have the perfect environment for cancer to begin growing once you reach 5.5. And so now these bacteria that have been in your body and have been harmless can morph into cancer cells because your body is acidic. And your body is acidic because you're filled with inflammation. You're filled with inflammation because you had all this stress in your life. You got all this stress in your life, not because of what's going on in the world around you, but because of the way you're processing it or internalizing it or whatever you're doing with it. And so he says in this process, and he says, so look, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you something. Our churches are set up where if they believe in the healing, we're begging people to come down to the altar every week to pray for them and to minister them. and we're not even giving them a chance to build up their own faith. Now, listen, if you didn't listen to last week's message about these principles for New Covenant healing, where we talk about how that even in Jesus' ministry, 14 out of the 17 people recorded individual healings that we have in the New Testament clearly tell us that it was the other person's faith. It wasn't Jesus' faith. It wasn't his special anointing. Brother Hagin told us, you know, that before he ministered to people individually, he always tried to get them to the place to faith. And, you know, and I've told you the same thing. We try to minister to people before they have come to the place of their own personal faith and made their own decision. See, the first step that you take should not be to call somebody else to pray for you. The first step that you should take when you're facing something should be to commune with Jesus around the death, burial, and resurrection. This is where you go back and you make a conscious connection to the fact that when Jesus died on the cross, he became my sin and he took all of my punishment. He took all the curse of the law. This has no right in me, so I send it away. I died with him. And I was raised up with him. And when I was raised up with him, I was raised up in newness of life. And I have resurrection life. It's mine. I put it on. I call myself healed. I call myself whole. You see, we don't give people a chance to work these things out between them and Jesus. We don't even teach them how. We just want to call them down the altar. And we're going to pray for them as if somehow that's going to be the fix. No, we need to wait till they call for us. And when they call for us, we can minister to them, we can share with them, we can find out where they are in their journey, we can help them make that journey, and then we can lay hands on them, anoint them with oil, however you feel led by the Spirit to do it. And when they're ready, I want to tell you something, it's easy to get people healed when they're ready. Now listen to this. Verse 15 says something, and we're starting to get into the part now people don't want to deal with. It says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, this is where the offense comes in. Now, when I talk about sins, I'm not talking about you've done something bad and God's doing something to you. Let me tell you something. Jesus became your sin. He died on the cross. He took all the punishment that you deserve. If God were to put sickness on you because of some sin that you committed, he would be denying the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about here. But you also have to realize when you got born again, you got a righteous nature. And it is totally incongruent with who you are as a born-again child of God to think or feel or act in ways that are less than who you really are in Jesus, less than what you really have in Jesus. And that's what sin primarily is when you think, feel, or act, or believe anything about yourself that causes you to experience life in a way that misses the goal, that misses the target, that misses the prize. See, Romans 6:23, and I think I've mentioned this in these programs, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. we take that scripture and we try to apply that to lost people. And it does apply to lost people. But Paul, in Romans 6, he is telling believers, he's saying, what? He said, listen, Romans 6, 14, he says, listen, sin has no dominion over you. And he goes in this thing where he says, look, do you think that I'm saying that because we're under grace that we should go on in sin? God forbid. And he says that twice, that passage. As a matter of fact, he says, you know, whoever you serve, that's whose slave you are. And whoever slave you are, you get the fruit of that life. And then he comes down and he's telling believers this. He says, for the wages of sin are death. In other words, he's saying, even though you're born again, if you live and think and believe or function in any way that's less than who you really are in Jesus, it's going to bring death and destruction in your life. We learned the week before last that if you don't discern the Lord's body, and see, if I'm not discerning the Lord's body, the fact that his body was broken in my place, his body was broken for me, if I don't discern what happened through the blood and the body of Jesus, then I will see, feel, believe, experience life less than what he did for me on the cross. So I want to tell you something. You want to deal with sin, with thoughts, feelings, or beliefs, or actions that cause you to see, feel, experience life less than who you really are in Jesus, you want to deal with it every single day. And daily you want to process whatever you got to deal with. Now, verse 16 goes on into ways to process this. He says, confess your trespasses, and that's actually just the word sins, one to another, and pray for one another that you may be healed. Let me tell you something. You know, of course, I realize in the current church environment, you don't dare tell anybody about your failures, because if you do, they're going to tell everybody else, you know. And so we hold things in. We're afraid to ever let things up. Well, people say, you know, I'll hear people say, well, you know, we're New Testament, New Covenants. You don't have to confess your sins. No, you don't have to. But I got news for you. If you don't confess your sins to God and experience the forgiveness that he has already freely given you in Jesus, then you will have information, or you'll have something in your spirit, but it'll never get to your body, because it's got to affect your soul. And if you've got guilt and shame and these things in your soul, and your soul is not prospering, and you're not going to be well. And besides that, we need to be confessing to each other when we wrong each other. And we need to be getting this stuff out of the way. And it says, and then it goes on and talks about how the effective prayer of a righteous man, you know, works. In other words, we need to be where we pray for one another. We need to minister to one another. And this needs to be a part of dealing with issues that come up. You know, we connect to the cross. We fellowship with Jesus. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And that happens when we commune with him and go back to the place of the cross, the one place that we have in common with him. And that's where we deal with stuff. Now listen, Jesus told people, and this is the offensive thing, Jesus told people in the book of John, he in John 5, he made a crippled man walk, and the man later found him, and Jesus said, listen, you go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. And that man was so offended by that basically he went and reported to the Sanhedrin who Jesus really was. And that began the final launch that ultimately led to his crucifixion. Let me tell you something. People don't want to connect the fact that their beliefs or their feelings or their actions could have anything to do with what's going on. Now, I'm not saying that a particular sin can make you sick. And I go into this in the CD. You know, there are these people who try to say, if you commit this sin, you get this sickness. No, that's not it. Any kind of sin that we don't experience the forgiveness and love of God to bring us out of this, then we're going to be stressed, we're going to have guilt, we're going to have shame. And it's those emotions that bring us, and feelings and beliefs that bring us the destruction and the sickness and the disease. It's not just the fact that we've committed the sin, and it's surely not God putting the sin on us. I want to tell you something. Sometimes we just got to face what we do, and we got to work it out. And we just got to get past it, and we got to own our stuff. So listen, if there's stuff in your life that is less than who you really are in Jesus, you want to deal with it. Come back in just a minute. I'm going to share something in my mentoring moment that's going to help you get through this. You know, I've spoken to you several times about downloading our mobile app. It'll work on your phone. It'll work on your tablet, on any kind of mobile device. It is so important to me, and you may not realize it's so important to you that you get this mobile app. Every day we get complaints from our world changers who still get their CDs through the mail, that they get crushed, they get messed up. We have no control over that. The post office messes that up. And besides that, it costs the ministry money. We want to be able to get your all of your world changer materials to you right away and not have to spend any excess money on it, and in the best shape possible. Also, we want to make sure that you're able to download all the free things, our magazine, our program, everything that we have, you can get off of the mobile app. Please, please, please go to our website today. Click on the mobile icon, download the mobile app, and any suggestions or things that you might like to see added to that, let us know. We want to make this thing where every person in your family has everything we've got every day, everywhere. Man, I hope you're going to get this new series on Qualified for Healing. I want you to pursue healing. I don't want you to struggle with it. I don't want you to strive with it. But I want you to pursue healing because it's your right as a child of God. You are baptized into the body of Jesus. Everything that He has is yours. Healing is yours right now. And Jesus died so you could have it. So I'm telling you something. You want to lay hold to everything that He has given you. This is going to change your world. You know, there's a principle that I think we miss. It's called walking in the light. You know, light, life, love, all of these things are basically synonymous. They're one and the same, if you will. And walking in the light is when we're walking in the truth of the finished work of Jesus, the truth of who we really are in Him, the truth of what He's really done for us. That's why the Apostle John, whenever he was writing to these believers in 1 John that were getting involved in Gnosticism, they were moving away from the finished work of the cross, and they were moving to all kinds of religious theories, and they were in darkness. They were not fellowshipping with Him. And remember, fellowshipping or communion is when we share what we have in common. And what we have in common is the cross. And he pointed out that whenever we fellowship with Him, that His blood continuously cleanses us, not just from sins past, but from the effects of sins and effects of things that are happening in our life. The woman that was caught in the issue of the woman that was caught in adultery, you know, Jesus at the end of it, after everybody had dispersed, He turned to her and said, where are those that condemn you? Or who condemns you? And she said, well, no one, Lord. And He said, well, neither do I condemn you. But He said, go and sin no more. You know, sometimes we take the fact that He said, neither do I condemn you, and say, okay, that's it. You know, live how you want to. I'm not going to condemn you. No, just like the crippled that He said, listen, go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. And then Jesus turns to the crowd, and we forget that this is all one context. This is all one message where He turns to them and says, listen, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You see, if we want to have the light of life, we can't walk in darkness. We are righteous creatures. We have been born again. The Spirit of God lives in us. It is totally incongruent with who we are, even as human beings, let alone as new creations, for us to think and feel and act in ways that would be any different than how Jesus would think and feel and act if He was here. So we've got to walk in the light. We've got to stay connected to the finished work of Jesus. We've got to stay connected to the death, burial, and resurrection, and we've got to stay connected to who we are so that everything about our life is consistent with the new creation that we are in Jesus. Then we stay free from sickness and disease.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.